Kiko!
You're listening to the Big Locals Podcast, a podcast platform built to serve the locals. Join us as we follow the innovative, eccentric, and movers and shakers of the Denver community. Brought to you by the not-so-local host, Ian Jimeno. Shop local, support local. Big Locals Podcast.
Welcome to the Big Locals Podcast. I'm Ian Jimeno, and super excited to feature today's guest, the one and only Sean Oblizalo, the trail guide, elopement coordinator, planning expert, and straight-up adventure elopement ninja. His main clientele are couples finding this elopement path as opposed to the traditional wedding path. They have beautiful testimonials for the work that Sean does, and I'm pretty sure it's because he radiates such positive energy, especially in his work and communication with his clients. And please do yourself the satisfaction of checking out his Instagram and website for some sample material and photos that will raise your eyebrows, drop your jaw, and have you whisper, wow. His contact info is in the show notes below. Check it out. And we go through a little bit more than just his business, which I completely love, just digging deeper into the guest's mind. We talked about the opinions on the Coloradan state of mind, his mindset with the Leave No Trace guidelines, and the camper van he was super excited about when we recorded. But as of right now, it is live. He's currently buying all these cool gizmos and gadgets and odds and ends to deck out his van so he can live life out on the road in style with his wife and corgi. To help with the support of local businesses, be sure to leave a like, follow, subscribe, review, 5 stars, or whatever for the podcast. I want the world to hear about the up-and-coming Denver entrepreneurs and artists of this day and age. Please do it. It helps immensely. A couple of shout-outs. Sean wouldn't have been able to get this far without his own supports foundation. Every person, organization that he mentions in the show is in the show notes for your benefit. Check them out. The song of the episode was personally requested by Sean himself. This episode features Pyres with their single Lonely. If there's anything I picked up from this song and the band itself, Pyres does a great job engulfing the listener in the soundscape. Catchy vocals, dreamlike tones, all that good stuff is their characteristics that you can't miss. Check them out and the discography anywhere that you listen to music. And thanks so much for everyone reaching out to me, wanting to be on the Big Locals Podcast. It's honestly a godsend, and it brings a smile to my face every DM, every emoji react. I mean, even something as small as a like on my Instagram just brings a smile to my face. I love it, love it, love it. But yeah, sorry if I haven't hit you up in recent times, but managing time is something that I have to keep working on. I'm truly grateful for the love and support, though. So continue to keep shopping and supporting local. It helps out everyone in the long run. But without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with Sean Oblizalo, the photographer and adventure elopement ninja, and his business, Vows and Peaks. In the sunlight, I've been drying out. It's far too bright for me to handle now. And my son might think we're dying out. It's alright, they can't bring us down. Sean, welcome to the Big Locals Podcast. How you doing, man?
Good, good. How are you, brother?
Excelente. I do have to say, well, people won't be able to see this, but I love your hair, dude. I love everything about it and how wild it is and how, you know, worry-free it is. I feel like it really brings out your personality as well.
Thanks, man. It's funny. My wife always wants me to wear it up, but I tell her I didn't grow my hair out to wear it up. I grew my hair out to wear it down.
Isn't that the truth, though? That is the truth. You don't see anyone in Metallica or in those mosh pits with their hair up, you know. You want it down.
Exactly.
Well, welcome to the Big Locals Podcast, man. As you know, with the Big Locals Podcast, we're all about supporting the local community in Denver. So what exactly is your affiliation with Denver, and how did you come here, or have you always been living here? What's your story?
Yeah, I always like to preface this by saying that I moved to Denver before it was cool to live in Denver, just to get it out there. But I actually moved out here on a whim. California schools were like really impacted when I first started applying to schools. And then my best friend was actually living out here, and I applied, and I was just for like, you know, whatever, assisting gigs. And then, I got accepted. I literally moved out here 2 weeks later and like just haven't turned back. It was just like one of those things where like, you know, I kind of felt like my heart was, this is where my heart was, while like my body was in California. So I was kind of just taking myself to like where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm. Were you born and raised there in California? In which part?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Sacramento.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Capital.
Yeah. Yeah, Sactown. Yeah. For sure. I actually got some, I would always go to the American River over there for some whitewater rafting. I freaking love that place. Yeah. I mean, outside of Sacramento, to be honest, you know, I never really liked Sacramento, but
yeah. Well, no one knew what Sacramento was until like the Lakers and Kings played each other. Then everybody realized, like, oh, that's the capital of California, not LA.
Right. Well, I'm sure Denver is better now that you're here. What year did you come by?
I came here in 2012.
2012, yeah. For sure. Before Denver was cool. That 2012 is when Denver started becoming cool. I gotta put that in my notes.
I moved to the Highlands and like there was nothing there, and then like it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's getting bigger too. Yeah. Oh my gosh, like so much development. I swear, like every freeway has a crane doing some sort of development going on right now. It's crazy.
Crane City.
Before Vows and Peaks, which is your photography business where you do elopements in the middle of nowhere and it's sort of untouched by man, which is the beauty of it. But we'll get to there. Before Vows and Peaks, what was your weekly schedule like? What did you do prior to Vows and Peaks? And were you a photographer before that? What was that story?
Yeah, I mean, so I graduated school and then I was like, okay, I don't know what I want to do. And so then I went and worked at a restaurant, and like, I've always been a really free spirit. I've like always liked to travel and go see stuff. And, you know, I just like didn't want to go do a 9-to-5 thing. So I just went and worked at a restaurant, and I was like, okay, I'm making good money. I'm traveling half a year and going to see cool stuff. So I literally just got stuck doing that like for like, God, 5 years. And it wasn't like I was stuck like where I wasn't enjoying it. Like it served a purpose. It was like there for a reason. And I was really always doing like nature landscape photography, trying to break into the industry, but it's a really saturated industry. And like, unfortunately, the premise to like becoming a landscape photographer is like, if you don't have a certain amount of Instagram followers, then you're just not going to get hired, which is like, I think is a pretty stupid baseline to get hired from any kind of job. But that's basically what they're looking for, is like a 500,000 followers. So I didn't have that. So it was kind of one of those things where like, I was just working at a restaurant and just going out and hiking like the majority of summer and traveling down to Patagonia in the winter and going all over the country and the world.
Mm-hmm. No, that's beautiful, man. And you're forging your own path along the way. And you know what? Screw those 500,000 followers. You don't need that much. But I mean, keeping on the Instagram vein, you really do have a really cool set of stories, and your pictures and your galleries on there are breathtaking, honestly. And with people that are getting eloped on the tops of these peaks, they look beautiful as well. And you make them even more beautiful than what they really radiate. So it's awesome, man.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's funny because every time I do an elopement, I always think to myself, like, this doesn't look right, but it also looks really right. Like, it's like, you know, you got people in wedding gear out in these giant peaks and these big alpine lakes, and you're like, you belong in a church traditionally, but like, so it looks really out of place, but at the same time, I'm like, this is where I feel like people should get married. Like, it looks totally badass.
Oh yeah, it does. Oh my gosh, dude. Like my heart is still in Yosemite, and seeing Half Dome in the background, it is a beautiful landscape. And my mind, I don't know why I thought this, but my mind initially thought how are they not sweaty in their wedding dress and their suit? But obviously they change while they're up there, right?
Yeah. Like, so like the majority of stuff I do are like hiking elopements. So like people will pack up their stuff and like, just throw in backpacks and get changed at the destination. Yosemite is a little different because like it's a lot of it's accessible by car. So, you know, you don't have to like necessarily hike up and stuff, but majority of stuff I market is towards like hiking stuff because that is like what I really enjoy. So I kind of figure like, you know, if I'm going to do a job that I really want to enjoy, I might as well like really try to make it cater to like stuff I enjoy.
Yeah. And how long have you decided to, you know, actually make this your business of Vows and Peaks?
So this will be my fourth year, but like last year was my first year full time. And I was kind of forced into going full time because of COVID. Like when the restaurants shut down, it was like I got laid off my job and I was like, well, this is it. This is like the time where I just got to really just dive in. And, you know, I really reaped the benefits of COVID. Like it's a weird place to be in, like, you know, with people being sick and all that kind of stuff, people losing their jobs. And like, I'm over here just having like major success. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I'm still giving people these dream wedding days. Like I'm not like taking advantage of people. Like people want to get married. And a lot of times, like, you know, I had couples who just said like, this is what we wanted to do in the first place. And our parents like shamed us into having a wedding. And so now we can just do this now. And I'm like, cool, let's just do it then.
Right. Yeah, no joke. I really like that spontaneity behind it all. It seems like people are, because it's just you three most of the time, right? Is that usually the situation, like you and the couple, right? Going out to these far off places and just being one with each other, just enjoying each other's company, right? What's sort of that process like from someone who's booking with Vows and Peaks to the actual, you know, photography session?
Yeah, for sure. So like, you know, my wife and I eloped. So like there was aspects of like the day where I was like, okay, like these are really cool. But then at the end of the day, like I really wanted to make this a full on experience for couples versus like, I'm just going to show up and like take your photos. Like at the end of the day, like I want to be homies with everybody and like, you know, be friends with people. Like I don't want to be this fly on the wall taking pictures. Like I want to be like a friend with you on your wedding day. So I'm like super hands-on with all my couples. Like in the last like year, I've really kind of adapted to like making like questionnaires to get to know people, get an idea of what they're looking for, send them like customized locations for like what their kind of landscape they're looking for. So I'm just trying to really, at the end of the day, like my goal is for when couples get off the mountain, I want them to be like, dude, you nailed it. That was exactly what we were looking for. That's exactly who we are. And then I want them to be like sending me a Christmas card because they like me so much.
For sure. You are part of the homie crew getting that family photo. That's awesome. So I noticed that a lot of your pictures on Instagram are a little bit more off the beaten path, so to speak. Are you finding these places on a whim, or do you just assume like, all right, let's just do a Google Earth satellite image. This place looks great. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, Colorado in general, like since I've been out here for so long, I've just basically hiked everywhere in the state at this point. So kind of how I have it set up is like my Google Docs. I have like easy, moderate. I have like harder hikes. I have backpacking hikes. I have like San Juan Mountains. I have Front Range. So like basically after I get a questionnaire back is like I read their questionnaire and then I just pull stuff from each one just kind of based on what they're looking for. So a lot of the places I suggest are places I've already been.
Yeah. What, I mean, speaking of places, what are some of your favorite places that you've been to?
You know, Mount Rainier is a really special place. Really, really cool place. Yosemite is obviously like iconic. I spent my whole life going up there. Colorado, I'd definitely say like the San Juan Mountains. It's like these volcanic peaks that are just like super jagged. And just like probably like the one I'd still think about and get like kind of goosebumps is like the Dolomites in Italy. Just super crazy out there. Beautiful.
Yeah. And when you do go out there, I imagine you're taking lenses for both the backdrop itself and also for the couple, right? I guess for the photographers out there, what do you bring with you? What sort of lenses do you look for and sort of pack along the way?
Yeah, I mean, like my go-tos are like I have a 7200, like which is like good for like portraits, like kind of like crunching like backgrounds and stuff like that. Then I generally use like a 35 or 24 just to kind of get like more of like the wide angle. I definitely bring like all my lenses though. I learned that lesson a couple of years ago where I just like basically brought two lenses and I was like, oh, I definitely need a bigger lens than this. So I was like, okay, I regretted that. So I bring my whole arsenal, and then I have like a Mary Poppins kit, which is basically like, you know, I have like band-aids in there, like nail clippers, like a knife, like rope, tampons, whatever I can bring for the couple that they might not bring. So I'll bring it myself.
Very accommodating. You know, yeah. You want to make sure that everyone's comfortable along the way. Like, ooh, forgot to cut my nails along the way. Especially if you're going to do like close-up hand shots of the ring, right? Mm-hmm. Smart move on you to bring those, you know, might as well just bring like lotion and, you know, your pancake makeup and stuff.
Oh, and beer. I always bring beer.
An essential.
I always bring beer.
Since you brought that up, what is your go-to beer over here in Colorado? I guess to preface this, I'm loving the breweries here in Colorado, where Station 26 is probably my favorite so far. And I love Comrade Brewing. Great Divide, of course, is really good. And Cerebral is really good, too. What's your go-to locals?
Oh, you know what? Like, I'm going to give a huge shout-out to Zuni Street. Like, their Way West Wit is like, I'm pretty sure I drank one of their first like barrels like ever. And it was like, I was like, I got hooked. I was like, this is the best beer ever in Denver.
I mean, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface when it comes to beer and breweries. They're, I don't want to say dime a dozen, but they're everywhere. You know, they're much more than a dime.
100%, man. There's a lot of breweries out in Denver or in Colorado.
I mean, when it comes to national parks and some couples' choices for their favorite backdrop, or maybe they have special memories at this certain location, are national parks sort of cool with photographers and elopement photos? Have you had any sort of restrictions along the way, or has it been pretty easygoing?
Yeah, I mean, last year was a little weird with COVID. Like, there was just a little slow to get permits out and stuff like that. Rocky Mountain National Park is kind of over it. They've kind of went to like just doing like X amount of permits for a whole year versus like, I don't think there was a restriction at all like in the past. But that's because like, you know, people just aren't really respecting the rules of like getting actual permits for national parks. They're just like kind of winging it, which is like, you know, obviously a huge no-no. It's so easy to get a permit. I don't understand why people just don't go get a permit.
Yeah, no joke. They're really pushing the boundaries. Like, they say it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, but just get the permission. You want to be on these guys' good side for sure.
Yeah, it sucks. But yeah, because now that everything's kind of ruined in Rocky Mountain National Park. But yeah, it's definitely more of a pain.
Yeah. I mean, you being a huge advocate for, you know, keeping the wild wild, I heard that you're going to be going through with a Leave No Trace guide, and you're really starting to pick that up. Or are you a certified Leave No Trace guide at the moment?
So I'm currently taking the course, but I've always been a huge advocate for Leave No Trace. I will definitely say that, like, I have made my own mistakes in the past. You know, one thing I think with Leave No Trace is, like, it's become, like, an online shaming versus like versus a teaching moment for people. Definitely a huge advocate for it. I actually send out a Leave No Trace like guideline to every couple before their elopement. And I actually have it in my contract that they have to follow Leave No Trace principles. Just because, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, I would rather leave our place better than the way, like, for our kids than the way I see it now, which is going to be hard with the way we're going. But you know, if I can do one little thing at a time.
Yeah, no joke. And it's funny because there seems to be this commonality or a common theme with other Coloradans, where Coloradans don't want their wilderness to be trampled as opposed to, you know, walked upon. You know, You want to just leave those footprints, and that's about it. I learned that Colorado denied the 1976 Olympics nomination just because they don't want to have huge amounts of people crowding around the place. You know, I feel that seems to be a very common theme, where people want to keep the wild, and they want to keep it like their own little nook here in like the Denver / Colorado area.
Yeah.
Of course, the cat is out of the bag and there's developments everywhere. It's just spreading, you know. But what's your take on that? I mean, it, obviously, as a California transplant going over to Colorado, I consider you a local with being there for 8+ years now. But, you know, do you think that people are a little bit more mindful with the Colorado way of life and that mentality nowadays? Or what's your take on it?
I mean, after last summer, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell because one thing I learned last summer is like, I don't mean this in any wrong way, but you don't realize how much you hate Americans until you spend a whole summer with Americans, because this is the first summer no one was allowed to go to Europe. And so everybody in the US was basically just funneling to national parks and being outside. And then, you know, it's a lot of people who just never spent their time outside. They would like go to Italy in the summertime and like you go to other places. But you know, this summer, it's just everything was just trashed and just like just disgusting, and sad more than anything. And so I think we have a long way to go. But I think, again, education is like the good funnel to get there. You know, I don't think shaming people is the right way to do it. But I also think there should be like, you know, more. If you do something stupid, like drive over fragile tundra and stuff like that, and like rip your bike through grass and ruin stuff, like you should go to jail, honestly.
It takes so long for an environment like that to repair itself, you know, with more desert landscapes or things like that, even like the Great Dunes down south. It's so delicate and it's very sensitive. You know, a lot of time is necessary before things start to grow over there. And it's really hard to... I don't know, repair that, especially after something like that. So yeah. I totally feel you on that. When it comes back to going back to the business, and I'm curious with, the couples that you bring along the way and, what their take is on it. How do you usually find your customers or your clients? And what is their initial reaction? Are you sort of giving them a smorgasbord of places to go? Or do they come to you with that idea?
Yeah. So Google is like basically 99% of like my inquiry stream is basically through there. So the couples that usually come to me, like I just don't ask for a lot up front. I just ask for like a general area. So like, you know, Washington, Colorado, California. And then like I usually try to hop on the phone with them, get to know them better. And then that's when I go back to like revert back to my questionnaire. So like, you know, say they're in California and they're like, well, we want like beaches. So it's like, okay, then we can start narrowing stuff down, you know, like Colorado, we want like an alpine lake, or we want to go jeeping. So it's like, basically like, I don't ask for a lot. I just tell people to don't box themselves into like what they think they should be doing. Just branch out and just come up with ridiculous ideas, because if you can think about stuff, we can definitely try to do it.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any couples that were a little bit apprehensive at first with, let's say, I mean, of course they choose the spot in the end, but you know, with the hike and then maybe their clothes are folded and they're creased or something like that. But in the end, they started to have a good time after a while. Have you ever had that situation?
Yeah. I mean, like at the end of the day, like, you know, everybody's going to be anxious on their wedding day and everybody wants things to be perfect, regardless if like you're eloping or having a wedding. You know, it's basically like, that's why I think like having a connection with my couples is like a big thing I strive for, is because like talking people off that like, you know, anxiety ledge is like a huge part of like being in the position I'm in. Same, even before the elopement, people were just like constantly like texting me and asking me questions like, dude, like if you need help, like just let me know. That's what you hired me for. It's like, don't figure this out by yourself.
Yeah. And you seem to be sort of jack of all trades when it comes to helping out your clients. They just come to you with an idea. They want to get eloped. But then you are a trail guide. You're an elopement coordinator. You're a planning expert. And you're a self-proclaimed adventure elopement ninja. Well, I'm a little scared. So, I mean, what is that package like? So let's say they go to you with an idea of this thing. You know, we want to get eloped at this location. What do you provide for your clients? You know, You got that friendship. You got the beer. What do you bring?
Yeah. So basically, like I kind of described, like the first half of the package is basically going to be like plain logistics services of it. So like location scouting, you know, via the questionnaire, vendor recommendations for each couple too. So like I have a really good vendor list of people like who I've worked with, but also like I really trust, like who are like the people who are down to go meet up with brides at 2 o'clock in the morning to do their hair and makeup so they can meet me on the trail at 4 a.m., you know, like, so like people that are really trusted are really good. So, and then I'm going to help come up with like a timeline. So like the questionnaire obviously is going to ask like things like what kind of activities you want to include. So like, you know, if you want to go paddleboarding or bring out a kayak or like make s'mores or like go like climb a via ferrata, like those are all things that I'm going to incorporate into your day to make sure that we're not missing a beat on like what you're looking for. Because at the end of the day, it's like, I want to make a day and craft it to like who you are as a couple. I don't want to craft your elopement day to someone I just shot last week. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the first half. And then the second half is like, you know, obviously like the wedding day fun, photographing, kicking it, stuff like that.
When I see some of your pictures online, most of them are like in the middle of nowhere. Let's say there's that alpine lake, and the one picture that's coming to mind right now is the couple that's jumping into the alpine lake right after they got married.
Yeah.
Was that their volition, or were you sort of pushing them along that way?
No, they like literally showed up with like swim clothes and and like they're like, I was like, are you guys really gonna jump in? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. So we all jumped in. It was like such a fun day too. They brought their dog up there. We met at the trailhead, like indulged in some Colorado like fun. It was just a really cool, chill day.
That is awesome. And You know, I'm getting kind of jealous with all these elopements and everything. I had a beautiful wedding in itself. My wife Kat and I had an enjoyable time, and I like to tell people that it's the only party where I knew everyone.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. But after looking at your pictures and everything, I almost want to renew my vows 2 years later. I mean, we got married in like 2018. So what if we want to go through with this with you? Do we have to get eloped to go on these cool adventures with you?
No, man. Like if you want to like do some badass photos and like explore some stuff and like hang out, like I'm not one to turn down like a fun day.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, I actually showed my parents and my brother your pictures as well. And they were stoked. They were like, when was the last time we actually had a family photo? You know, and I was like, dude, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Have you ever done something like that? I mean, if I were to bring everyone in the immediate family, we'd maybe have like 5 or 6 people. So,
I
mean, could we book something like that in 2021? What's your schedule like next year?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So people don't realize this, but like people really think that eloping or like, you know, doing these kind of things is really just like a couple and like the photographer. But it's really like, I tell every couple, there's no rules to these. If you want to have family members there, like let's do it. Like at the end of the day, I want you to have the day that you want to have. So about 50% of the things I do actually include family. So a lot of the times it does. As far as like schedule goes next year, it's like starting to get kind of crazy again. I think people are just starting to realize like, you know, I think last year with like, you know, marketing for one, with weddings is going to be non-existent this year because there are none. Two, a lot of the venues are double booked because of last year's couples. And three, like there's a pandemic going on. So I think just elopements are going to be like a thing, not just for next year, but just going forward. I think people just realize like, you know, why am I doing something like a wedding when I could be doing something like this? This is way more us.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Way more us is, I feel like, the testament, the actual, what do you call it? Yeah. I guess testament where people put on Google, reviews for you. Like this is so us, mm-hmm. You know, putting on a facade for certain weddings, you know, people, I mean, there's a lot of stress that goes on with weddings. You know, a lot of people that you have to take care of, a wedding planner, photographer, DJ, food. And that's just the, you know, the buying aspect of it, not even talking about financials and the actual planning of it. Yeah. You know, I feel like this whole elopement thing is a cool trend that people should really look into, you know. I really like the photos that you're doing, and I think this is a solid path for you, man. It's good.
It's good. It's really rewarding. And then, like, you know, I think a lot of times too, with like elopements, like it's a lot less stress. Like you just kind of wash your hands of it, especially like when you hire someone who's like can juggle more than one thing than like and help you plan the whole thing. It's basically just like, but it's just you can help us plan it and we're just gonna go for the ride.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of people helping you and you know, just sort of complementing your process as well and being very accommodating for the couples, what sort of businesses do you like to work with along the way? Let's say if makeup needs to get done or a certain food wants to be eaten on the trail, is there certain businesses that you'd like to work with?
Yeah. So really like working like with a videographer team. My friends, Backcountry Vows, are a couple that is a husband wife team, but they're awesome. And like, they, do a lot of stuff with me. Super cool outdoorsy couple too. A lot of pride to their own hair and makeup because like, they just like, don't want to like wake up like super, super early to get it done. I also really am a big advocate for private chefs. I think they're really cool. I think it's like a really fun experience for couples to have someone come in there and like cook them like a really nice meal. So those are like the three, like hair, makeup, videographer, and private chefs are like the ones that like I think are the most fun.
Yeah. The private chef comes with you on the trail, or how does that work?
So generally what we'll do is like the couples like will go back to the house afterwards and like they'll get like a dinner and stuff like that with the private chef. So that's when my buddy Mark, I've been working with him a lot, was Zest and Savor, but he was like packing lunches for couples last year, like to go lunches. It was so cool.
It was like awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. What would he pack?
Oh, last year, dude, he built this really, 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 really good olive, like pack kind of thing with like veggies and stuff like that. And made these really amazing sandwiches. It was so good. It was really good.
That I love it. It's like actual hiking food too.
It
makes you really feel like, wow, this is part of the experience. Awesome, man. As far as 2021 goes, I know you mentioned that it's like super packed, but is there certain trips that you're really excited about, or what's on your agenda?
Oh yeah. So going to Zion National Park in September, going to Glacier National Park in August, going back to Yosemite in April. And then, I mean, Colorado, it's like, I can't complain about this place. Like I could spend my whole summer here and I'd be happy. but you know, when people ask me to go to these other cool places and I'm like, yeah, like I'm totally down.
Is there any places or have there been any places where you're like, oh man, this place, I mean, we could have gone to anywhere else, but of course you're very accommodating and you want to make the best experience for them. But, have there been any places where you're a little, like, let's go off the beaten path sort of thing?
Not necessarily. Like the only time I ever feel like that is like when it's like a weekend kind of thing, because the term weekend warrior is like for real in Colorado. It's like, it's, like I'm very fortunate where I don't have to go hike on the weekends, which I would never ever go hike on a Saturday and Sunday. So when I have to like go do an elopement on a Saturday, Sunday, it's like kind of like, oh man, cause you just know you're going to get like no privacy, no intimacy.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a very valid point. I didn't even think about that for sure. When you want that privacy factor, you know, take a week off, guys, let's do it on a Tuesday or something like that. You know?
Yeah. Own it. Yeah. Make it a big honeymoon, you know, just like make it a full experience. You don't have to like get married and then like fly home the next day.
Yeah. Do you join them on the honeymoon or what's that like?
not yet. No.
That's an extra fee.
Yeah.
Or do you pay them?
For that.
Awesome, man. Well, I also saw on your Instagram that you recently bought a house. Congrats, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. It was like one of those things where if the market was just right, the interest rates were like really low. So we just like took the plunge. My wife, God bless her soul, because I literally, for the first month and a half we had this house, I slept in this house for 3 days. 3 days. bless her soul. Like she did it. Like she did all the paperwork when I was gone. Like I was working like crazy this summer, and she just like did all of it. So, you know, shout out to her.
MVP. I think you planned that perfectly with the advancement of your schedule and your photography stuff. He's like, you know what? We should buy a house. And my schedule is really busy right now.
Looking at all that, right?
Yeah. Speaking of your house, you guys got a lot of plants. Is that all mainly from Matt from Good to Get Rights, or where are the plants from?
There are some from him. Yeah. I like his because his comes with bread. Right. Not every plant store gives you bread. So, you know, like that's a good shout out to him. Like, you know, if you want to get some good plants but also some good bread, go to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have not had the pleasure of buying a plant yet, but the bread. Oh my God.
Buy the bread and you get the plant.
Yeah. Don't eat the plant and show the bread. Eat the bread.
Oh, that's funny. That's good.
How's your corgi?
Jap, he's a wild man. He's a crazy dog. Like, I'll tell you this. Like, when I first met my wife, she's like, I have a dog. And I was like, what kind is it? And she's like, I have a corgi. And I'm like, what the hell is a corgi? I don't know what that is. So I go on Instagram and I type in like corgi, and it's like this whole other world. Like, big fetish, like, of dogs. And so, like, this corgi butt thing, I'm like, oh, that's a pretty cool dog. And I was like, I like this dog. And so, like, yeah, he's our little man. He's a very popular. Everybody loves him. He's a crazy guy, though.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say corgi fetish, because corgi butts are a real thing, dude. I mean, I feel like there's several hashtags, variations of corgi butts, and I don't know why they do it, but it seems like they're all about that that twerk while they walk. They're really good at it.
Yeah. But you know what the weird part about it is? Is like when you think about this, like there's poop that comes out of something that cute. Like that cute of a butt, like there's poop that comes out of it, and it's kind of weird.
It's like a yin and yang sort of thing. The white part is the corgi butt, but the poop, that little dot, you know?
Yeah. That's so true.
Awesome, man. Well, if you don't mind, we're going to be progressing onto the no-brainer questions. These are questions that I ask every guest, and that'll make them say, that's a no-brainer. Come on.
Cool.
So first of all, the first no-brainer question is, if you weren't an elope adventure planning ninja, what profession would you be in?
I was always really wanted to be like an NFL GM. Like, was always wanted to be that as a kid. Like, wanted to do that. I went to school for sports management, and I was like, in my head, I was like, I'm gonna do this. And I was like, oh, I'm not gonna do this.
I mean, you definitely. I mean, Belichick's got the cutoff sleeves. The Raiders GM has Belichick's not a GM, but the GM of the Raiders has this gnarly bowl cut looking thing. I feel like if you maintain the beard, you can really become a GM. I think you need some sort of like flair about you, and the beard is the thing, dude. I think
I would do it shirtless.
Right.
Hair down. Beard shirtless. That's
I feel like you're exactly that guy in the stands with, you know, your painted. Who is your team? Who is your football team?
The 49ers.
49ers.
So I don't chalk this up as a regular season. So
right.
Yeah.
That's pretty bogus for sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's always time, dude. Yeah, you always got time to be a GM sometime. I mean, that's why you went to school.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
For sure, man. Well, let's go on to number two of the no-brainers. Who deserves a shout-out, and who has supported and hyped you up along the way with Vows and Peaks?
Oh, my God. This is going to sound really cliche, but, you know, my wife, like, she's made, like, so many sacrifices for, like, me to, like, chase my dreams and, like, do this. And, like, you know, it hasn't been easy, like, to do this. Like, you know, I worked, like, basically two jobs while trying to build this, and it's been just a grind. And you know, our relationship and her have really been kind of put on the back burner, but next year work-life balance is going to be better, and we're definitely striving to come out of like next year better than we did this year, just by trying to make some tweaks here and there with like, you know, work.
Number three, of the no-brainers. What is the next big thing for Vows and Peaks? And can the audience provide any sort of value in any sort of way?
Okay. This has been something I have literally been wanting to do for so freaking long. And I bought a camper van.
Yes!
I'm going to build it out and I'm going to spend this winter like just doing this thing, like put a bed in there, put a stove. And I just told myself, I was like, I need to have better work-life balance next year. I can't sleep in my car for 70 days again. I need to have a bed. I need to have something I can take my wife and my dog on the road. So I just took the plunge. I bought one. It's to be here next week. And I'm like, yeah.
No way. You bought it. Oh my gosh. That is awesome, man. So yeah. Tell us a little bit more about it. Like, what's the size? What sort of amenities does it have already? What do you plan on?
Dude, it's like basically the biggest ProMaster you can get. So it's going to be like, put a queen size bed in there, has a tall roof. We're going to put a kitchen in there. Like, I'm going to do it up. Like, I'm going to be very prideful in it. I want it to be like really badass. I don't want it to be shortcutted. I want it to be like sick, put a logo on there. I'm like stoked. I've been wanting to do this for so long. Like, and it's just like fun to like finally just say like, I'm doing it.
Yes. Are you planning on taking it out on some of your adventures with your clients as well? Or what's your plan with it? Is it mainly just family oriented?
Oh, dude, it's been work and family. Like, I'm basically like next summer, like when I'm having to travel all over, I'm just like ripping around in this thing.
Yeah, that is badass, dude. That seems to be a common theme these days. I feel like you're not a true Coloradan unless you have one of those camper vans for sure.
Yeah, I cannot be this poser California guy.
Poser until next week. Congrats. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, last question of the no-brainers. What is the best way for people to contact you and get more information about Vows and Peaks?
Oh man, you know, I'm a big fan for talking to people on the phone. Or Skype or whatever. Meeting in person is kind of hard right now just because, like, you know, we're all taking that precaution with holidays coming up. So filling out something on my website and just like holler at me, and then I can get back to you with a load of information and just like set up a consult and, you know, hit it off.
Yeah. When is the next 2021 appointment that people can set up? Is it looking until the end of summer season? How are you looking right now?
I'm like starting in January this year. Last year, I couldn't do anything until July because of COVID. We had the home orders. So this year, like, you know, part of the work-life balance was like, I want to spread out my schedule, like my bookings, like a lot more than cramming it into one summer. I'd like to start doing stuff like, you know, starting in like April, May, June, July, and then ramp up for summer and then start slowing down again. I'm down to adventure whenever anybody else is. I'm not one to say no.
Yeah. I definitely got to hit you up, man. I feel like I want these family photos to turn out excellent, most choice, if you will. And I feel like you're the guy to go to. So I'll let you know what's up, man. This sounds super fun.
Yeah, dude, holler, man. I'm always down.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks again, Sean. You have been a genuine pleasure, and it looks like you're just quite a fun dude. I mean, spontaneous, not a procrastinator. You like to do this stuff, man. You like to grab life by the horn sort of thing. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, very fortunate, a lot of gratitude to the success I've had, but, you know, also just worked with like just some really, really, really amazing people. You know, I could still remember every day to like details, and I can remember like when the phone calls and they told me they wanted to book me. So like just very fortunate to have the career path I'm on and to spend my time in the beautiful place I do.
Excellent, man. And you want to spread that joy to other people. I can see it already in your eyes.
Yeah.
Awesome, Sean. Well, thank you so much. Have a good rest of your day, man. Thanks so much for being on it.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You know, when this stuff slows down, like we got to get one of those local beers you're talking about.
Hey, yeah. We got a chill sesh for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Sean. Right. See you later.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Yes, 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 yes. Doesn't Sean just seem like a dude you want to crack a beer and chill with? When this whole COVID thing is over, let's just plan a huge wilderness trip, cram in his van and like escape the city for a week or something. Just don't pack anything because we're just trying to leave no trace behind. It's easier that way. My favorite point that Sean made was that he wants to have this quality time spent with the elopers turn into a long-lasting friendship. And when you're bringing someone like Sean on your special day from camping to planning to straight up chilling, it's hard to ignore the developed camaraderie blossoming over the elopement schedule. Not to mention the excitement that comes with the breathtaking photos. Like I said in the intro and even throughout this episode, his Instagram stories and posts are amazing. I mean, honestly, I was so jealous seeing all this stuff. I definitely want to do this again in the near future, either with family photos or even just with my wife. That'd be super cool. And take Sean along and let him work his magic. Love this stuff. So with that being said, thanks so much for listening to the episode. I'm always on the prowl for pop-up shops such as the night market and the afternoon market arranged by Virgil of Cream Kimchi or the Denver Bazaar. Love that stuff. Both of which, the afternoon market and the Denver Bazaar, they just occurred this past weekend and I hit up both in the same day. I love this stuff and I supported local businesses on Small Business Saturday and I think I'm pretty much done for Christmas shopping. It goes a long way. You're bringing two smiles to the table when you buy locally, the recipients and the business you buy from. So think about that before you start buying off Amazon or wherever you like to shop in those large department stores. So that being said, remember to leave a like, subscribe, follow, comment, whatever to help out with Big Locals Podcast and the locals to get their word out in the world. It helps out so much with the algorithms. It would help out immensely. Thanks again for hanging out. And remember to shop local, support local, Big Locals Podcast. See ya.
It's never only just for now. Just can't ever.